Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
With cybersecurity from BT. Security solutions built for businesses.
10 to 6, Friday evening. Tom Swarbrick here on LBC means one thing. Dressed in his Mario Kart outfit, holding out a bucket in hopeful anticipation, it's a horror show for Simon Marks, American Week.
Tom, can you believe it? It is already Halloween, and the big scary monster flew back to America just in time to celebrate.
It was an amazing meeting. He's a great leader of a very powerful, very strong country, China.
President Trump aboard Air Force One last night, enthusing about yesterday's meeting with Chinese President Xi Jinping, their first face-to-face encounter since 2019. Just how successful was it? Stratospheric, according to the U.S. leader.
I guess on the scale of from 0 to 10, with 10 being the best, I would say the meeting was a 12.
A 12 out of 10? Who would have seen that coming? Well, not many people, given that Trump has accused China of conspiring against the United States with Russia and India, has led a global trade war designed to cause severe disruption to the Chinese economy, has imposed average tariffs of 58% on China's exports to the United States, and only 3 weeks ago said on social media that the bilateral relationship with Beijing was so tattered that there was no point in the two men even meeting.
Mr. President, the President of the People's Republic of China.
When they did meet yesterday in South Korea, the photo op spoke volumes. President Trump was like a new puppy, nervously talking and backslapping President Xi, while the Chinese leader looked inscrutable and said nothing.
We're going to have a very successful meeting, I have no doubt. But he's a very tough negotiator. That's not good. We know each other well.
By the time their meeting was over, compromise was the order of the day. Both sides agreed to a trade war truce. The Chinese said they will start buying lots of American soybeans again. The Americans welcomed President Xi's decision to delay controls on the export of hugely valuable rare earths. In return, President Trump did a lot. He lowered tariffs on China by 10% and agreed to travel to China next April, which, if it happens, will be a very big deal. As for Taiwan and the possibility of China invading the island and taking it over, the Americans say the topic never came up for discussion, which seems like a bit of a miss. But the president claims his 3 days in Asia yielded lots of other breakthroughs. And luckily, his own trade representative, Jameson Greer, was aboard Air Force One to prompt him.
I think it was really good.
Well, especially coming on the heels of the successful trip. We're in Malaysia. You signed a peace deal for Cambodia and Thailand. Critical mineral deals with all our allies.
So many successful meetings.
Right.
And so many meetings great for our country with literally hundreds of billions, trillions of dollars have come into our country over the last 4 days.
Millions, billions, trillions. After a while, it's just hard to keep track. But let's drill down on just one of those claims that the president has voiced like a mantra since Tuesday.
Yesterday I was with Mr. Toyota in Japan. They are going to spend $10 billion and they're going to build new car plants, and they're going to build them in numerous states, about 6 or 7 different states.
Toyota is going to be putting auto plants all over the United States to the tune of over $10 billion. So that's Toyota. So go out and buy a Toyota.
Well, maybe not just yet. Those claims presented to members of the U.S. military at a base in South Korea do not stand up to scrutiny. Toyota says no such agreement was struck. They say they never explicitly promised to spend $10 billion building car plants in the United States, nor agreed to ship Toyota cars manufactured in America to Japan for sale there, as the president also announced. So that's at least $10 billion claimed dollars $1 trillion of investment that are overstated. Who knows how much of the remaining billions or trillions also prove to be fictional? Now, as you all prepare to trick or treat tonight, separating fact from fiction has become a bit of a spectator sport here over the past week. Let's spool back to last weekend, the release by The Economist newspaper of an interview with Steve Bannon, the convicted fraudster, a fact The Economist never bothered to point out to its subscribers, who serves as the president's on-again, off-again political advisor.
Well, he's going to get a third term. So Trump 28, Trump is going to be president in 28. And people just ought to get accommodated with that.
But what, pondered The Economist's editors, of the 22nd Amendment to the American Constitution, which says, and I quote, "No person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice." Doesn't that put the mockers on it?
There's many different alternatives. At the appropriate time, we'll lay out what the plan is. But there's a plan, and President Trump will be the president in 28. The country needs him to be president of the United States. We have to finish what we started. Trump is a vehicle. I know this will drive you guys crazy, but he's a vehicle of divine providence.
A vehicle of divine providence, you say? To which Monty Python would have responded, he's not the Messiah, he's a very naughty boy.
You know, the sad thing is I have my highest numbers that I've ever had.
In fact, this week he notched up the lowest approval ratings that he's ever had, but he was still lamenting the third term conundrum that he says he faces.
I have my highest poll numbers that I've ever had, and, you know, based on what I read, I guess I'm not allowed to run. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens, not only to him, but to Kamala Harris, the former vice president, also trolling the country by suggesting this week that she might have another presidential run in her. She, as you know, is out there flogging her book about her failed presidential bid last year and had a couple of very rough interviews this week, including one on Australia's ABC.
Wasn't Joe Biden, then, to put it on him, wasn't his refusal to recognise his own frailties the reason that you faced a nearly impossible task?
I ran against Donald Trump for president, and Donald Trump ran on a platform that was in large part, I believe, misrepresenting his intentions to the American people.
But ABC's Sarah Ferguson had asked a question about Joe Biden, and unlike so many American TV interviewers these days, she was not going to stand for the former vice president's evasion.
I want to interrupt you because that is a world-class pivot, but it is not the question that I asked you, which is about Joe Biden's failure to recognize his own frailties and what that did to you. The question is about Joe Biden. Are you still reluctant to criticize the former president?
In what regard, please?
Well, just in terms of that question. So you went
on. What exactly would you like to ask? Be more specific, if you don't mind.
Was it Joe Biden's decision, his failure to recognize his own frailties in that position, that put you in the position that made it almost impossible to win that race?
He was not frail as president of the United States.
No, he was a stallion, a mountain of a man. It is astonishing that basic questions for which she should be fully prepared continue to trip her up exactly as they did on the campaign trail last year. At a time when America desperately needs some alternative leadership, there isn't much of it around, although by this time next week, Democrats Zoran Mamdani will have become the next mayor of New York City, despite the fact that the self-described Democratic Socialist has not yet secured the endorsement of some key grandees within his own party. His big anticipated win is going to send them one heck of a populist message next Tuesday night. Democratic Party leaders in Congress face mounting challenges this weekend as the government shutdown continues into its second month. Money for vital food assistance programs is running out because the White House won't release emergency funds to keep the hungry fed. At some point, both parties are going to have to blink to get the government reopen, but if that doesn't happen by next Wednesday, this will become the longest shutdown in history, causing untold angst to the families of hundreds of thousands of furloughed civil servants nationwide. Not furloughed, of course, Donald Trump's masked thugs dragging people away whom they consider candidates for mass deportation. And this week saw one of the most chilling examples we have yet seen at Salt Lake City Airport in Utah.
No! 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 No!
the screams of 39-year-old Marta Renderos Leiva as Trump's plain-clothed thugs pounced near the baggage claim area. The witness filming that arrest begs the agents to show mercy. She's a human being, she shouts at them. But what is so extraordinary is that no one else in the terminal gets involved. Everyone else just going about their business as if it's all normal, which increasingly it is becoming here. The mayor of Salt Lake City described herself as aching from the fear and pain shown in that video, but also conceded that she never expects to receive any answers from ICE about their operations in her city, because that, of course, is how authoritarian governments behave. At the White House last night, scary music as Donald Trump, back from Asia, joined the First Lady, handing out Halloween candy to trick-or-treaters. It was all very Joseph Stalin. The Soviet dictator was often depicted surrounded by youngsters hugging him. Donald Trump last night went as himself, suggesting, Tom, that either he couldn't be bothered to dress up or thinks he's scary enough on his own.
From Washington, D.C., Simon Marks, American Week.